Welcome and good morning. Some of you may have come this morning expecting to hear Tom Crady, but he was not able to be with us today. So instead, Justin has graciously agreed to provide us with a musical solo during the homily time. So we will be delighted by that. Please stand as we begin this morning. Blessed be God, Creator, Savior, and Advocate, who journeys with us, whose justice and compassion endures forever. Amen. Gracious God, we yearn to feel your love. Let your love unite us in one common bond of understanding and respect of one another. Let your love empower us to live for one another. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Our text for this morning comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, Lazarus, whom you love, is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the child of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples protested, "Rabbi, the religious authorities were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the child of God, the one coming into the world." When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" They answered, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how Jesus loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the man born blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "God, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm probably just surprised to see you from this position. I was not expecting to be in front of you, except I was going to be up there, which we did that anyway. But nevertheless, I've been asked to... first, they asked me, would you like to speak today? I'm like, well, what am I going to talk about? You know, I'm thinking, well, I could give, you know, a talk about something from music theory and, you know, suspension resolutions and common tone seven chords and what is the Neapolitan and all that sort of stuff. But I decided instead, no, I think I'll play something for you instead that hopefully will set the mood for this Lenten season that we're almost coming to a close. I was intending to play, as the program says, the Elegy by Benjamin Britten. As I was frantically looking for it this morning, it has gone awry. I don't know where it is. As musicians, we're always prepared to pull something out of our back pocket, and I'm going to be playing a piece by Beautemps, who's a French, now-deceased composer. This is a Capriccio. So as Leonard Bernstein, the great New York Philharmonic conductor way back then, would say, "Let the notes be your words." So here we go.
God, we pray this morning with grateful hearts for a refreshing week of spring break and for the new life that comes with the onset of spring. May the rest and sunshine give us the energy we need to stay focused and work hard through the end of the school year. For all the prospective students that are visiting campus this week, we pray that they will find great conversation partners on campus who can help them make a final decision about where they want to attend college. May all who they encounter on campus welcome them with hospitality and graciousness. Students, faculty, and staff from Gustavus who have been organizing this year's Women in Leadership Conference. We pray that all of their hopes and plans will be realized as people gather this Thursday at the Swedish Institute to learn about and take action for empowering talented women to thrive in their lives and careers. God, you know our longings and questions, the stirrings of our soul, our fears and anxieties, our triumphs and our failures. You know our belovedness and our brokenness. And through it all, you love us and fill us with your grace. May Jesus' way of loving become our own. Amen. And now, may you go in peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God.